Hey everyone, today I am talking with Dr. Harold Koenig from Duke University. Dr. Koenig is a professor of psychiatry and behavioral sciences, and he is currently the director for the Center for Spirituality, Theology, and Health. He's written over 55 books on spirituality, health, and medicine. I would say that he's probably the world expert in spirituality and health. This is a fantastic conversation with a beautiful person. Pull up a chair and buckle up. It's the Original Strength podcast. Dr. Koenig, you're a professor of psychiatry and behavioral sciences at Duke University, yes?
Yes, that's correct.
And you're currently the director for the Center for Spirituality, Theology, and Health?
Yes, that is correct also.
You may not know, but how many books have you written on spirituality, health, and medicine?
About 55.
55. All right. So this leads me to my first question, and it may be, well, we'll see what happens. Because in today's world, things are just seem wild. So is there room in science for spirituality?
Well, I would hope so. I would hope so. It is spirituality, religion is a important sociological characteristic that affects attitudes and behaviors. So I would think that scientists would be interested in that.
So from all the books you've written and all the research you've done, spirituality can affect health. Is that correct?
Religion is good for your health. That is correct.
Awesome. And is it every religion, any religion, or like, how does that work?
Well, in general, religions tend to be good for people's health. There aren't good studies that compare the different religions because depending on the particular cultural setting the person is in, it influences and has influenced the belief system that has arisen in areas like the Middle East, China, Europe, the United States. So it's really difficult to compare them, but certainly devout religious faith and practice seems to be good for your health.
Do you have any examples on how religion can improve health or affect health? And is it just emotional and mental well-being, or is it also physical well-being?
Yeah, religious involvement seems to affect a person's mental health, social health, behavioral health, and physical health. All of these parts of the human are all interconnected in one way or another. And so if you affect one, you're going to affect the others in some way. So it's really religious involvement pretty much across the lifespan seems to influence health in many different ways. And the benefits seem to be cumulative, which means that over time, they tend to build.
That's fascinating. So you're saying throughout a span of years, if a person's spirituality or their religion can help bolster and boost their health over time.
That is correct. There is a book called The Body Keeps the Score. The Body Keeps the Score. That book describes how our attitudes, beliefs, and behaviors from early childhood onward are the score is kept in our physical body. And ultimately, it then affects our longevity and our health as we age and get older. Because again, we carry with us all of these different effects of our psychological experiences, social relationships, and the kinds of behaviors we engage in.
So for the body that keeps the score, I'm guessing that these are also, it keeps the score of even things that we're not conscious about as well.
That would be correct. It would, the body just kind of remembers these things. You know, it has effects on your physiology, your beliefs, your attitudes, your social engagement, the way you treat other people, all of these things, the way you were treated, you know, as a child and growing up, your life experiences, your genetic and you know, whatever you begin with genetically, all of those things influence health over a person's lifespan. And that is what we're talking about when we're talking about the body keeps the score of everything that's happened to you and what you have done and your decisions and your behaviors and how you treat other people and how you, you know, whether or not you have family and how supportive they are, et cetera, et cetera.
Is there any data that would correlate with people that aren't religious, that their health is not as good, or is there anything like that?
Well, the research usually involves a measure of religious belief, commitment, or activity. And people who score lower on those scales have worse health than do people who score higher on those scales. That's kind of how the research works. You know, you give a person a measure of their religious involvement and a level of religious involvement, and then you correlate that with indicators of health. That can be blood pressure, that can be longevity, that can be depression, you know, social support, you know, all different sorts of mental and social characteristics that are also measurable and quantifiable, just like religious involvement is.
In all the research you've done and the stories that you've collected, have you come across stories where, like, people healed from diseases that they shouldn't have, or, like, you know, just really, I guess I want to say miraculous events?
Well, certainly there are reports of individuals whose religious faith has somehow led to or contributed to healing experiences. There's no question about that. But you know, it's complicated because people have spontaneous remissions from various horrible conditions over time anyway. And some of those people are going to be religious. And as we try to explain these amazing healing experiences, the religious person is likely to attribute it to their religious faith. Now, that does not, I'm not saying this in a negative way at all. I'm talking as a scientist, but there are, depending on the person's religious faith, it may very well influence their physiology in a way that results in healing. There's no question about that. Even scientifically, that is quite likely, in fact, that a person's beliefs and practices and attitudes influence their immune system, their physiological functions in ways that produce a healing environment. So there's no question about that. Now, are there miracles that happen? I mean, I personally believe there are, but that's a personal belief. It's about belief. It's not about science or objective study or demonstrating that the religion itself was the cause of the healing in some kind of miraculous or divine fashion. We're talking about belief now.
So for a person's belief or their spirituality, and it does affect their body, but do you think that there are, like, say, a group of people are praying for someone else? Could that group of people that are praying for someone else, could that affect that someone else?
So there have been a number of studies, randomized controlled trials, looking at intercessory prayer in terms of people benefiting from that. And a number of studies have actually found some significant results. The only challenge with that kind of research is it doesn't have any scientific explanation. No science that could explain those results. And consequently, those results have not been considered credible in terms of scientific findings. Even theologically, they're they're pretty shaky. Really, what those studies show is it would show if true is telepathy, that you could influence people through your thoughts and feelings over a distance without them knowing it. But from a theological standpoint, a God that loves people, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense, because even if people are not being prayed for, they're probably being prayed for by somebody, you know, and it's not the number of prayers. You know, God isn't quantitative. He doesn't count the number of prayers and then heal the person who has 10 and doesn't heal the one who has one. You know, one person that's devoutly praying, or, you know, or have loved ones devoutly praying that, but no, you have to have 10 of them. Otherwise, you know, this is not God within any theology. No one describes a God like this in Christianity, Islam, Judaism, or any other religion.
That was awesome. So, wow, this is a lot of fun for me. So out of all the research and the experience that you've had, if you could distill down a few life bullets for people, like that would help them, like, or their health, emotional, mental, physical, what would they be?
Well, one would be that it's the level of devoutness, the level of commitment that a person has to their religious faith that really seems to matter. How central is that person's faith to their life, to the decisions that they make in terms of their own decisions on how to live, how to treat other people? Unless those religious beliefs are central to that person's life, they're not going to affect their health. That's just the bottom line. So that's number one. Number two is that it seems as though attendance at religious services, which is actually becoming less and less with each generation, but it seems that attendance at religious services or religious community involvement is the most powerful predictor of all different aspects of health, whether that be mental health, social, behavioral health, or physical health. It's engaging with others of a similar faith together as a community. That seems to be the most powerful predictor. So those are kind of the two main points that I think, take home points. But the first one has to do really with, to what extent is that person's belief central to their life and guides their decision-making? And so that's important. In Christianity, it's, you know, it's a surrender of one's will to Jesus Christ as one's Lord and Savior. In Islam, it's a submission to God in terms of your decision-making, the way you treat others, how you live your life. That's what guides your life. In Judaism, it's similar. So it really has to do with the centrality in one's life that religion plays. That's what really counts in terms of health outcomes.
Do you think that religious people are afraid of science, or that people that really love science are afraid of religion?
I think it's both. It's certainly both. There are lots of reasons for people to be suspicious of science, because of really the negative things that science has said about religion. You know, the scientists focus on what you can see, you can observe, you can measure, and you can't do that for religion. You can measure the effects of religion on people's health, but you can't measure the truth of religion. That is, again, it's about belief. It's about a personal belief, a jump into its faith. It's a jump into things that there is no assurance, absolute assurance, although, you know, many religious people experience assurance that their faith is true. There's no doubt about that. But again, scientists don't view that as credible. And because of that attitude, and this has been true for hundreds of years, you know, because of that attitude, religious people are suspicious of scientists who may be trying to disprove their faith or somehow undermine that which makes their life meaningful and which may be the most important part of their life, their religious faith. So again, there is this divide between religion and science that that it's hard to overcome. And that's why, you know, scientists have not studied religion very much. You know, medical scientists have not studied religion that much, or, you know, or psychiatrists, or, you know, mental health professionals, because of this divide, because of this division. In some respects, they're kind of competing explanatory systems. Competing explanatory systems. So science has got a system of belief itself, various assumptions and things of that nature, as does religion. Religion is certainly about belief and about certain assumptions. And so in some respects, they're competing for people's attention. Science has thus far kind of won in general within the community. And it continues to influence, you know, people's personal beliefs. But then again, you know, if a person's life has been changed by their religious faith, you know, a person with an argument is no match for a person with an experience.
Oh, that was good. Yeah, that was awesome. So if there is this divide, are there any ways that where they could, like, how can they come together where they don't have to be polar opposites, but they can work together?
Yeah, I think both are attempts to identify truth. You know, truth is kind of the commonality there. You know, science is about discovering truth. Religion is about discovering truth. And so they're both after truth. And you would think that they, each group would keep an open mind here and different aspects of the truth. Certainly scientists are good at identifying truths based on laws, you know, laws in the physical universe. And religion is good at meaning, finding the meaning of what all these laws, what do these laws mean? Why are we here? You know, why are we here? Where did we come from? Where are we going? These are huge questions that scientists cannot answer. They simply cannot, or their answers that it's all random and, you know, we're just evolving into some other creature, something that looks different someday, you know, something with a big head, a small body or something. I don't know, you know, but, you know, so when you just look at, I think when you contemplate death, that's one way to really to think about this. You know, when you die, what's going to happen? Science has absolutely no answer to that. Science would say that you just cease to exist for all of eternity. You simply see there's no resting in peace. You know, people say, oh, well, rest in peace. There is no peace because there's no experience. There's nothing. The person is forever just gone. And that belief system, that's the scientific belief system. Religion says, no, there is more. There is more when you die. There, you are not becoming extinct for all of eternity. There is something more. There's something better, in fact. And that, you know, for religions believe in a loving God, there's something good for all of eternity. That you can experience and be part of. So again, you know, each is a source of truth, but, you know, each is capable of only determining one aspect of the truth. That's the thing. You know, there are things that only religion can answer, and there are things that only science can answer.
In any of your work, have you studied or had thoughts about people that say they die and have afterlife or after death experiences, and then they come back? Is like how does science deal with that, or does it just say that's your imagination?
Well, certainly there are after death experiences that have been reported, and scientists have all sorts of way of explaining those experiences. It's, you know, it's as a person, as the blood drains out of the brain, you have certain, you know, experiences in parts of the brain that create some of the things that have been reported. Again, when you talk about anything involving the supernatural or the divine, you're talking about belief. We want proof, but there is just, we don't have the proof of the divine. You'd have to, in the Christian tradition, you'd have to change the Bible. You know, faith is the evidence of things not seen. Is it not? Faith is the evidence of things not seen. If suddenly you were able to see everything, there wouldn't be any need for faith. So faith is really, it's somewhat of a jump in the dark, but those who have made that jump seem to have had a good experience from it. You know, their lives have been transformed. They're happier. They live longer. They have better relationships. They have more meaningful lives. They contribute more into the lives of others. Now, I'm talking about in general, you know, not all religious people are that way.
Right.
We know that. People use religion as a means to some other selfish goal almost, you know, a lot. So it's complicated. It's complicated because we as humans are complicated.
Yeah. So for the ones, all right, now we're getting kind of wild, but for the ones that use it for their own selfish goals, is that true religion, or have they just really missed it?
Well, you know, religion is really not about selfishness. It is kind of the opposite of that. It's you know, giving your life. It's really, you know, I mean, Jesus said, you know, love God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So that's, and many of the other religions also advocate this. So this seems to be a very common thread among religions, is not focusing on yourself. And yet there are many spiritualities that are now arising in the world that are highly self-focused. And whether or not those spiritualities have any benefit or actually cause harm, we just don't know. But from a purely rational, logical standpoint, there is great potential, I think, for harm for people. Individuals become so self-centered that they just, you know, they're just completely self-centered. Nobody likes a self-centered person that's only interested in themselves. So social relationships, it makes it easy, you know, if you're self-centered, to take advantage of other people. And that, none of that leads to good health of any kind.
Okay, so for a person that feels good, that feels healthy, it's easier not to focus on themselves and to love others because they're not consumed with their own issues. So then it kind of seems that spirituality or religion would be like the good medicine that can actually help you stay healthier so you can focus on others. So practicing love in your religion and your spirituality actually can help you live out love better because you don't have the elements that would cause you to focus on yourself as much. Is that close?
I think so. I think that's a good explanation, actually. You know, it's kind of cumulative as you become more religious, you treat others better. Hopefully that this would be the occur, you know, and then that's good for you because you benefit from it, so that you're healthier. The healthier you are, the happier you are. And the more likely you have more love to give other people, you know, and you're less need to focus on yourself because, you know, because you're taken care of. God takes care of you, you know. It's just kind of so that those needs are not so greedy. You don't need to be greedy because you're kind of full as it is. You're full through your faith and through, you know, your relationship with the higher power or whatever you want to call it. But there's no question that there's a two-way street here. And this is, as scientists are very interested in trying to understand, is how religion affects health and how health affects religion. Oh. So, you know, if you're happy, you're going to be more likely to engage with others, to go to religious services, as opposed to if you're depressed, you're socially withdrawn, you don't want to mess with other people. So, you know, mental health can influence religious involvement, just as religious involvement can affect mental health and social health. So it's kind of two-way. Actually, studies have shown that both are going on to some extent. Both religion is influencing and enabling people to be healthier, and being healthy more enables you to be religious because you're able to attend religious services. You can get out. You can focus on and study the Holy Scriptures and not be completely, you know, if you're depressed, you can't focus on anything. If you're paralyzed by anxiety, you know, you can't pray. You know, it's so, you know, they work both ways. They work both ways.
That seems to be a thread where every great conversation is a two-way street. Like, the better you move, the better you feel, the better you think, the better you think, the better you feel, the better you move. Like, everything dances together for wholeness. It's, you know, which is, yeah, to me, is an amazing design, and also like almost a sign on the wall for a lot of things.
It is. It really is. I mean, it seems that way. Seems that way. Although faith, you still have to have faith. Faith is a step that enables you to see things that other people don't see. Maybe we're just imagining these things, but it does seem as though, even from a more objective standpoint, that faith opens up a world that is, you know, it opens up a world that you can't enter into unless you have faith.
So it's kind of like the secret sauce.
Yeah. Yeah. The faith opens the door to an entirely new world for people.
Awesome. Dr. Koenig, this has been so much fun. Thank you so much for your time.
Sure, Tim. Sure. It's been fun too, answering your questions. They were good ones too.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Have a great weekend.